The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, episode 549, Cool Stuff Found, for Sunday, April 19th, 2015. And welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, the show where, well, today you send in cool stuff found, we find cool stuff found, we share cool stuff found, and together we all want to learn about lots of new things. Next week, of course, we'll be back to our normal question, answer, tip format, but we do like to take a little diversion here and there for a little cool stuff found. Our sponsors for this episode today include Barebones at Barebones, or Barebones Software at barebones.com, makers of fine apps like PB Edit and Yojimbo. We'll talk more about them. Also, OWC, Otherworld Computing, at macsales.com. Their new Thunderbolt 2 dock was fantastic. They've also got an enterprise grade SSD that, frankly, to you and me, looks like a little USB stick. Right until you pick it up and plug it in, and then you realize it's far more than that. We'll talk more about that, too, later on in the show. Here, back from Las Vegas, here in Durham, New Hampshire, where it's sunny and almost warm, I'm Dave Hamilton.
And still here in Fairfield, Connecticut, John F. Braun.
Where it's probably also sunny and close to warm.
We're hitting that wonderful time of year where one needs neither the heat or the air conditioning. It's just right.
Also known as mud season, right?
Really?
Oh. Right? That's what they call it up north near ski mountains and stuff. It's always mud season because you can't really do anything at the ski mountains, right? You know, you can't ski and you can't like do your mountain biking or anything yet because all the snow is still softening the ground too much. But that's okay. We like all the all that stuff, so it's good. It's a good day to maybe get out and ride your bicycle.
Yep,
some might even call it bicycle day. I don't know, but
oh yeah, we got those people out. Oh man, I don't have a problem with bicycles. I do have a problem with bicyclists not observing traffic laws and almost running into them or them running into me.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they know better. My car is bigger than you.
Yeah. Well, the laws of physics, and in that case, both the laws of physics and the laws of the land sync right up with each other. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good. I've always thought that I guess that's why you have the laws of the land, is for when times when the laws of physics should not be the ruling law, like with pedestrians and crosswalks. But that's, you know. Because pedestrians should have the right of way, even though the law of physics says the car screaming down at you does. So, hey, all right, cool stuff found. Let's dig right in and see what we get here, John. I figured we would start with a group of things that are free, because one of the things about cool stuff found shows is they get expensive, and I'm sure we'll talk about some things in here that have, you know, significant prices, but not this first chunk. So Mark sent in, he said, I found a really cool program called Spectacle for the Mac. What it does is if you have a bunch of program windows open on your desktop, it gives you a keyboard shortcut to automatically auto arrange the windows on the desktop as you see fit. It will allow vertical, horizontal, top of screen, bottom of screen, et cetera, all using keyboard shortcuts. I find it handy for when I'm working on a special project on a Mac desktop to see everything arranged neatly. It goes well with my workflow. The website is spectacleapp.com, and we will put that in the show notes. So, and so it begins, John, but it begins freely, and that's a good thing. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of mine are, lower, no cost.
Yeah, we like that.
We'll get one that has a moderate cost, but it's cool.
We'll save it for the non-free section, John.
Yeah.
All right. Kurt writes. He says, "If you this is actually a tip, not and so if, as long as you already have an iPad, this is free." He says, "If you are in mobile Safari on an iPad and you pinch with two fingers hard enough, and far enough, the page collapses down to an icon, and all the other tabs you have appear as regular companion icons. And he's totally right. And you get that nice little kind of tiled view, if you will. So he says, I found it totally by accident, but I'm sure it's intentional. And I'm sure you're right there, Kurt. But it's one of those things that we all tend to forget about, or at least I certainly do. So good stuff on that one. Anything to add before we blaze through the rest of these in the intro section here?
Nope. No, I'll have to.
All right. Michael says, did you know that in the sidebar of the Finder, you can list under favorites all my files? And that is, it's there by default. He says it lists files chronologically so that the last thing you worked on is at the top. I have found this incredibly useful for getting back to things I might have worked on in the last few days, but didn't know where I saved them. It even works with files saved in the cloud. Saving to the cloud just gives me one more place to forget that I put things. So. Yeah, you're right about this, Michael. That all my files thing, I always turn it off because it was new, right? It was added, I guess, in Mavericks, maybe even before that. But if you list it, it's usually in tile view. But if you put it into list view, you can just have it show you things in chronological order. That's a good idea, man. Thank you, Michael. Good stuff.
Yeah, I've turned that off too because I just found it. I didn't need that big a picture,
right?
But I can understand why you'd want to use it.
Yeah, it's this, especially in list view. I think it's pretty handy, man.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, where do you find these? Well, if you go to Finder and then Preferences, and then Sidebar, you're going to see all sorts of wonderful selections. And there's a few others. Like I don't think I really use. Yeah, all my files I have disabled, Dave. AirDrop. I don't really use AirDrop that often.
Really? Oh man, I have found AirDrop to be super handy when I'm around other people or just bouncing stuff to and from my own devices.
Yeah, but that's another selection there, and then some others like desktop and a few of the regulars.
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff, man. All right. Eric says, to find things on my Macs, I prefer to search with a thing I found in the Mac App Store called Easy Find. And sure enough, Easy Find is in the Mac App Store and it's free. Or at least it was when I looked for it. Yeah, it's totally free. So, that's great. It's, an enhanced find utility, I guess. What I'd call that.
Yeah. Right? I don't know if you've noticed this as of late, Dave, but I've found that even when you use some of the tricks that we've indicated in the past to find some files like preference files and plist files, I found that the Finder doesn't always find them.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure out why, which I guess is why people are writing these third-party utilities. Again, I'm not exactly sure why Apple is filtering certain things, even if you explicitly say, no, I really want to see system files.
Right.
Have you found that too?
Totally. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I definitely have found that. And there have been times when I've had to resort to using the find command at the terminal, which never works quite the way I want it to, but that's solely because of my limitations of being able to use the find command effectively. It's a little weird, but you know, it's fine. It's fine. Yes. All right. But Easy Find should help solve that for you. So we'll put that in there too. Chuck writes, he said, I just discovered a little pointer, at least a new trick in my conscious recall. He says, now that Macworld magazine is digital only, I miss being able to pull out hard copy pages where I've highlighted sections I'll need to remind me to practice new ideas I've just found. I always keep thumbnail view open so I can easily delete the majority of useless pages. I suspected I needed several ideas from, say, page 78. What would happen if I grabbed that page 78 thumbnail and dragged it to the desktop? Click, drag, drop, and sure enough, I now have a single page PDF with several practical little tips or whatever was on page 78. Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, you're right. Preview is pretty, it's got some neat things in there. And this is one of them. You can, not only can you drag things out to save as a separate page, but you can also rearrange things and you can insert pages into a PDF right using Preview as well. So it's good stuff.
Right. Can't you? Yeah, I believe you can smash two documents together in Preview.
Yes, you can. It gets weird, though. You got to be careful exactly how you drag the new document in, because sometimes all it will do is have two separate documents, both in thumbnail view, kind of coalesced into the same window. But if you drag them in to the right spot, then it will add those as pages to your existing PDF. It's a little weird. I seem to always get it wrong about 50% of the time. So just be aware that you might not get it quite right the first time you go and drop it in. And maybe there's another trick. Maybe somebody in the chat room at MacGeekGab.com/stream will have a magic answer for us.
We should get a cat room.
We should. Yeah. That'd be good. All right, lastly, and this isn't the last free thing that we'll talk about, but lastly, in this first section here, let's see, we have Jason, who found a great thing. He says, CamelCamelCamel.com is an Amazon price history tracker, which allows you to see graphical price history data of any item on Amazon, including those from third-party sellers. It also allows you to set price watches so you can get email notifications when an item drops below a certain price. I've saved several dollars during this past holiday season using the tracker. It will even allow you to import Amazon wish lists. I don't think I've heard you guys mention this before, and we haven't. I never knew about Camel, 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 but this is pretty cool stuff. I recommend you check it out. And as does Jason. So we will throw that out there. Yeah, I never heard of Camel. Did you ever use Camel, 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 John?
No.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that was a nice way to wrap up the free section to actually save you a little bit of money, right? So thanks for that, Jason. Good stuff. Good, good stuff. Got anything to throw in there, John, before we...
Yes, I have a free one.
All right.
We'll stay
here. Free. All right, cool.
Well, I got a couple of free ones. I'll mention the first one that I came across. That's very useful. I'm not sure how I came across it, but the name of the utility is called Light Blue. What does it do, you ask? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it does. So it's from our friends at punchthrough.com. And it's basically a Bluetooth low energy scanner, which could be handy to have. I think I downloaded it because I had misplaced one of my Bluetooth devices and I had no idea where it was. So I was running this program to help me try and find it. And eventually it did help me find out pretty close to where I had left it. It was under something, but and the device itself didn't have a way to beep or boop or make any noise.
And what's the name of the app?
You can get it in the App Store.
Okay.
So, and it's for OS X, and it's called Light Blue.
Light Blue. All right.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's showing, iFit Active, and then it shows you the various services. So it lets you really, really drill down, and it does an active search as well. I don't think, because I know that iStumbler also does Bluetooth, but I think that's only, that'll only show you things that you're, actively connected to, whereas this is more a Bluetooth scanner, but it also tells you again the services that it offers, so it really lets you drill down. So it's pretty neat. Like right now it shows my iFit, one of the tracker devices I have on my keys, and then my Apple TV. So it shows right now three things
nice
that it can see. So if you want the lowdown on your Bluetooth devices, Bluetooth LE I think is all it. Oh wait, is the Apple TV LE? Maybe it's not just LE.
Yeah, no, it's not. I think it's just a straight on normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn about any Bluetooth devices in your hood, this will do it.
Cool. Awesome. I think we can stay free for a little bit. Mark writes, he says, I've been using for scanning for viruses, I've been using AVG Cleaner for a few months, and it's a nice, friendly interface. And best of all, it's free and in the Mac App Store. I run it weekly, and it's amazing how much cruft the OS leaves behind. Here's where you cut me. Thank you, Mark. Funny stuff. AVG cleaner. All right. That'll work. You use something else, right, John? You use clam AV. Is that right?
On occasion. Haven't really had a need to, but yeah. Or Clam AV X is the OS X version.
Right. Clam X AV?
Or Clam X AV. Yes. There we are. Yeah, there's an X in there somewhere.
Yep.
But I find it's a pretty decent open source, I believe, and free virus deal.
Yeah, that's
antivirus deal.
That's one of those that you can get from the Mac App Store, but you're better off getting is that the one that you're better off getting from the website because it does a little more than they're allowed to do in the App Store? Or maybe I'm confusing.
I believe you're right. Is that the one in the App Store? I believe is not active.
Right.
You have to. You have to say, okay, please start a scan. Whereas I believe, and I think it's because, yeah, it's in the App Store that they don't permit App Store programs to do certain things.
Right.
Whereas the one you download from them can also do background scanning.
Right.
But I found it finds viruses. You're not going to find many. Well, I don't think you're going to find viruses at all on the Mac, but you may find documents infected with weird. I have had it actually identify emails that have like weird things happening with them, like URL redirection and stuff like that.
Cool.
Which sometimes is okay, and sometimes it's dastardly. I remember I ran it one time, and it found an email that I think I sent to you long ago.
Yeah.
It was somebody sending me something to my Mac Observer email address saying, your Bank of America account is... and I'm like, I don't have a Bank of America account at Mac Observer. I don't handle the finances at Mac Observer, so nice try.
Yeah. Hey, Peter writes, and he says, I just figured out that using Command Enter when wanting to send a reply in Notification Center works in OS X. It will send the message. Pressing just Enter or Command Shift D, as you would in Mail to send a message, does not work. He says, I'm a keyboard shortcut junkie, so it's been bugging me for a while. And that's true. If you want to reply to a message in Notification Center, Command Enter will do it. So thanks, Peter. That's good stuff. Speaking of things you can do on your Mac that you can also do on your iPhone, Tom helps tie things together a little bit, saying if you open contacts on your Mac, select a contact and click on edit, you can scroll down and now you can see your ringtone and text tone for that contact. Not only can you see them, but you can edit them and change them with the same tones on your phone. If you have custom tones on your phone, those don't show up on your Mac, of course. If you want to assign several ringtones or text tones in one session, this can be an easier way to do it than navigating the interface on the phone. Makes me wonder what other goodies are hiding in Yosemite. Yeah, thanks for that, Tom. Great, great stuff. And it's true. You can, you know, you may not even realize that you can do this, but in addition to setting your system-wide text tone and system-wide ringtone on your phone, you can set contact specific ringtones. In fact, John, for you, I have the answer, which is, you folks know as the Mac Geek Gab theme song, but when you call me, I have the little theme song that we play at the beginning of the show is what rings. So I know it's you because you're the only one that gets that. But, I have a separate text tone for my wife, all that good stuff. So I really, you know, I can actually, and you can set, not only separate tones, but you can set separate, buzzes too. I believe that's done in the accessibility settings. Is that right, John? Where you can create your own custom vibration patterns.
Oh, fun! Yeah, I haven't messed with that. Yeah, I know some people do like Morse code and stuff.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I'm trying to think of where that is. Maybe somebody in the chat room will remind me. I know I've found it, but I'm not finding it in accessibility. So now I'm off the I don't know where it is. We'll find it. If we don't, come up with it this episode, we'll talk about it next episode. I just don't want to waste everybody's time while we sort through it because we have plenty to go through here. While we're on the subject of ringtones, before we wrap this one up, Bruce has something. Yes, you have to pay 99 cents for this, but, he says, you've spoken a couple of times about the single included ringtone with FaceTime in Yosemite. Well, here's a 99 cent app that can change all that. And indeed, there is an app called Ringtone Adder that lets you add ringtones to FaceTime on OS X. So thank you for that, Bruce. Actually, it's gone up since you sent us your email. It is now $199. So we will put that in the show notes, because there are other ways to do this. We've talked about them and we've linked to them, but if you want to keep it easy, pay the $2. So thank you for that, Bruce. All right, John, what do you got? You got anything for us here?
Yeah, I got another one here. Surprise, you're not on the list, but this is something this is something I got the other day, and it's kind of neat to, so if you want to keep track of your activity, like it's almost like a little diary, but it keeps track of your movements, and it shows you where you've gone during the day, and the amount of calories that you've burned. And also, it says, hey, good for you. You burned this many calories walking.
Right.
And it shows what stores or other places you've been to. But it's called Moves. And it's free. So why not check it out? And I'll paste that URL. There we go. Yeah, neat little program.
Cool. Moves by Protogeo. Cool.
Yeah, and then I've had to give me notifications. It's like, oh, yay, you know, last week you... burned more calories than you ever did. Good for you.
Yeah, like, good for you.
Well, I think the week that happened was when I was actually in Manhattan. So I did quite a bit more walking than I usually do.
I bet you did. Yeah.
Going on the subway and walking the dangerous streets of New York City, you know, and running.
running away.
Running away from evildoers. Nah, Manhattan's not that bad.
No, it's not.
There's still some sketchy parts, but yeah.
Sweet. Hey, I want to talk about our first sponsor. That is Otherworld Computing at MacSales.com. I saw them this past week. They were exhibiting at the NAB show, which was happening simultaneously and in concert with, or in cooperation with, the NMX show that I was attending for the conferences. OWC makes all kinds of great things for the Mac, as we all know. They really started their whole foray with RAM. And of course, in addition to making and selling RAM, they really figured out where their business was when it came time for customer service. They built their own lab and they do a lot of testing. In fact, they do all of their own testing and make sure that this stuff works with all the new Macs. And that has spilled over into every other product that they do. And that's really the core of why these guys do it right, and why they get it better than so many others, and why they've lasted so long, because they have the ability to test this stuff both before and after. I mean, if hopefully you don't have any problems with the stuff, but when things come back, and invariably they do, they test them right there in their own lab. So it really is fantastic. They figure out what's going on. They're smart people there, and they totally grok what's going on. They're not just passing products along at all. They are really involved with these products, and we love them for that. Their new Thunderbolt dock is quite special. It's a Thunderbolt 2 dock. It has five USB ports on it, five USB 3 ports on it, two of which are on the side of the dock and have the ability to do high speed charging, has audio in and out, has FireWire 800. It has gigabit Ethernet, and it has HDMI, as well as a pass through Thunderbolt connector so that you can daisy chain yet another Thunderbolt device off of it. It's pretty special. Thunderbolt 2, so you've got full speeds and all of these other things. So many other docks either don't have enough USB ports or don't have FireWire and HDMI. I mean, they really know what they're doing there. And I've had the opportunity to test one of these things, and it's fantastic. And the HDMI port will do 4K and all of that good stuff. So five USB 3 ports, pretty awesome. You can add this to a Mac, of course, like the new Retina iMac that has USB 3 in it, or if you've got an older Mac, you know, if you're in that 2011, kind of late 2010, early 2012 range where you've got Thunderbolt, but not USB 3, really consider one of these Thunderbolt 2 docks, because it will let you add USB 3 ports to your older Mac and really expand things. It's been quite special. In fact, the Mac that I have right in front of me is exactly one of these, and it's great to be able to add USB 3. That's the beauty of Thunderbolt, and OWC is there to deliver it. They also have the, as I mentioned, the new Envoy Pro Mini. When you look at this thing, you are going to think, oh, it's a flash drive, because it looks like a flash drive. It doesn't feel like a flash drive, though. It's a little bit heavier. And when you dig in deeper, you find this is not a flash drive. This is a full enterprise class, or desktop class, I should say, but full speed SSD. Sustained speeds up to 433 megabytes a second, full-sized SSD performance in a little drive that you can fit in your pocket. They've got a 120 gig version for $119 and a 240 gig version for $199. So this is a serious thing that you can carry around with you, and fantastic. I was able to see it at the Showstopper show as well as the NAB Expo Hall this past week, and like I said, I told them, your biggest problem with this is going to be explaining to people that it's not a flash drive, or it's not a thumb drive. It's not a slow thumb drive. It's not. All you got to do is plug it in and you'll see. So 433 megabytes a second sustained. It's called the Envoy Pro Mini, and it sure is mini, but it packs a punch. So check that out. Check out the Thunderbolt 2 dock. Those are $249, all at macsales.com. And we do want to thank them for sponsoring the show. A lot of fun having you folks on board. All right, John, what do we got here? MacSales.com.
Since we're talking about flash drives, Dave.
Yeah.
Why don't I mention one thing that I've recently got? I'll do a mini review of it, but it's also cool stuff found.
Okay.
I'll keep it short because we got lots of things here.
Yeah.
This is something I got from my friends at SanDisk. So I saw it at a show a number of months ago, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got an email saying, oh, yeah, we remember you wanted to check one of these out. Would you like one? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And what is it, you're asking? And I'm going to tell you. It's called the iXpand flash drive for iPhone and iPad. And you can kind of glean a little bit of what it does, but I'll tell you explicitly what it has. Well, if you look at it, then you're going to realize what it does for you. So on one end, there's a USB connector. As the name implies, the device is a flash drive. But then on the other end, or actually on top of it, there's a lightning connector.
Oh, nice.
What is this craziness? Why would you possibly want something like this? Well, you want something like this if you want to shuttle information between your Mac and your iPhone or your iPad. So what you need to do, all right, so you don't have to do anything out of the box. On the flash drive side, on the USB side, you just plug it into your Mac and you see it. It comes in capacities ranging from 16 up to 128 gigs. They gave me the 128 gigs. So that's pretty cool. And then it's pre-populated with some content. So I believe they have some secure storage software on there, which I haven't looked at yet, but that's pretty common for a lot of flash drives. But then they also have some directories. So they have a music directory, a video directory, and a picture directory.
Nice.
And they put some sample content in there. Now, here's the key part, though. So the lightning connector. So when you plug it into your iDevice, be it your iPhone or your iPad. Now, the first thing, and this is kind of an iOS thing, I think, is that when you plug it in, it says, hey, you need an app to really take advantage of this device on your iPhone or iPad. Would you like to go to the App Store and get the app? And it's like, sure. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's super handy to be able to do that with hardware. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of pieces of hardware when you plug them in will do that. So it's part of iOS. The thing is, if you don't, you really can't take your device won't see it, and you can download it manually. And actually, I did this just to see what would happen if I plugged it in again and ignored it.
Sure.
So take their advice and install the app. But when you install the app, so here's the cool part that the app lets you do. And you know, this I think actually addresses a question that someone had a while ago about. How do I access content? What do I do if my device is full of content and I'd like to, bring it with me? So what you can do, Dave, is so the app will let you listen to your music, view pictures, and also watch movies. I actually did this. I took a movie that I ripped, Dave, an M4V file, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Put it on this, plugged it into my iPad, ran the app, and hey, there we go. Was able to watch the movie. So that's one thing. So it lets you shuttle your data back and forth between your devices. But the other thing is it also has, you know, some additional features. You can back up your camera roll to it, which is very nice. You can also back up your contacts to it.
Nice.
So it does a whole pile of stuff. And last I looked, even the 128 gig, I think the pricing is in the under $200, I believe.
Okay.
I think it's 100 something.
Yeah.
If you want the maximum capacity. So, yeah, I think it's very very clever device.
Cool.
And very useful.
Well, that's awesome, man. Very fun. Yeah, it having some way to offload things or expand your iOS device. It's good. Cool. Hey, Nick wrote in. He says, I was listening to episode 548 and you were discussing tools, network tools, ping, etc., to test and troubleshoot networking issues. He says, as a networking nerd for 15 plus years, I've been using PingPlotter as one of my go-to tools for troubleshooting network issues, especially issues that occur on a random basis. It pings while doing a traceroute-like path analysis. It has a history graph to show you when pings are successful and when they are not, as well as plotting response time across the timeline. It also shows you responses from each hop and on which hop the traffic is failing when pings fail, so you know where in the middle of the chain the problem might be. They have a solid Windows version with a 30-day trial, and they're working on an OS X version. They've got a running OS X version, but have since decided to go in a different direction, so they're doing a ground-up rewrite. But the running version is available for download. You need a license to run it, and it's $40. He says the license is cross-platform, but it is worth checking out. So it's called the Ping Plotter at pingplotter.com, and it's one to keep an eye on. Thanks. I appreciate that, Nick. Huh. I totally get why that would be a handy thing. So very good. Also in show 548, John Steven was listening and says, we were talking about the similar thing, how to monitor and log. When we were talking about logging and monitoring your internet service provider outages. And we talked about how to either see the ping log that we had going or save it to a file, but not both. And Steven says, use the terminal command called T-E-E, like a plumber's T. And the idea with what T does is it shows it on the screen and logs it to a file. It takes whatever input you've got coming in. Right. So,
was the exact head scratcher. I was like, how do you do both?
I had no idea that this command existed. So he says you do ping and then, you know, in our example, www.apple.com and then a pipe, because that's the pipe character. That's how you tell it, send the output here. And then, of course, like in plumbing, you send a pipe to a T and the water runs in two directions. And so that's why we say T-E-E. And then you just type the name of the file that you want to save it to. In his case, he put ping.log. And then that did it. So that's pretty cool. I will invariably, I can't believe I've never heard of T before. Is it, I want to check it actually. Is it in OS X? Oh, terminal. Yep, sure is. So it's part of the standard distribution there. Awesome. Thank you, Nick. We love those kinds of things. That was Steven. Thank you, Steven. Nick was ping plotter. Steven was there. So we're catching up. We'll get there. Jed, jumping directions a little bit. He says, I know this isn't brand new, and you guys may have mentioned it. We haven't. He says, but Slack is an awesome tool. It's basically a chat room on steroids, but it's pretty amazing. I've looked into Slack, and I know I have several friends that use it and love it. We should probably try it here at either Backbeat or TMO, but we do so much voice calling that our Skype chat room actually works out quite well. And especially now that the iOS app for Skype is not such a battery hog that it used to be, it's really not a bad thing to just stay logged into all the time. But I have heard good things about Slack. So if there might be a way to integrate with Skype to to, you know, to make it easy to jump to that for some group calling and then just back to the Slack room for chatting. So, or for, yeah, for chatting. So thanks, Jed. Good stuff. Awesome. Awesome. I'm assuming you haven't used Slack, right, John? You're not, you wouldn't.
No, I'm
since it came out, you haven't been in an environment.
I don't Slack, man.
That's right.
Give you that idea.
You're no slacker.
You know, I did want to mention one thing. You just mentioned batteries, and I just want to throw this out real quick. Mm. The device that I mentioned before, the other thing that struck me as unique about it, or which will help prevent your battery being drained, is that the iXpand Drive has a rechargeable battery in it.
Oh, nice. Oh,
because when you plug it, and I asked them, why does it have a rechargeable battery? That doesn't make any sense. And they're like, no. So when you plug it into your Lightning device, it doesn't drain the battery.
Right. Right.
So that's a nice touch because they don't have to do that. And if they didn't have it, then yeah, it would suck your battery out of your iOS device, which nobody wants that.
Yeah, right. Right, right, right. So, John, we recently lost Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, also the great host of In Search Of. And that show scared the heck out of me as a kid. I don't know why, but I think it was just the delivery of it. But I loved it. But it was always terrifying. And we all love to share the immortal words of Spock, which were live long and prosper. And along those lines, Steve wrote in and showed us an article from the New York Daily News about how to add the live long and prosper emoji salute onto your iPhone. And it's a great little article. You actually just go to a website and copy the emoji and then you paste it in to your keyboard shortcuts section in the settings. And so now if I'm on my phone and I type LLAP, it replaces that with live long and prosper not live long and prosper, but the little Vulcan emoji, you know, with the finger spread and the, you know, what Spock does, what we're all doing right now, because you can't help yourself when you hear about this. You just, you know,
no, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me a while to figure that out, man. What a pain in the neck. I always liked the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Yeah, but there was no hand signal for that one.
No. I mean, he was getting radiated or something. Yeah,
that's right. Oh yeah, he was getting cooked. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's just cool. It's a couple of, you know, it's a few short steps that you got to go through to do the Vulcan emoji, but. It's awesome. I've got it on my phone. And you know, it's a nice way to send off to fellow geeks. So when you're chatting back and forth. Hey, so as you are, John, I'm a TiVo user. I've been a TiVo user since the Series 1 that we got in, I guess, the summer of 2000, when we finally understood what TiVo was, and have been using it ever since. And we've bought several new ones over the years. I think right now we've got an HD and then a Series 3 and then also a Premiere. And the Premiere is the one, it's actually not the latest and greatest. That's the Romeo, I believe. But the Premiere is new enough to get some of the new features that TiVo has. And TiVo has done something with their season passes now that is a game changer. And it's something that feels very Apple-like. And my guess is we're going to see something like this from Apple. If we don't, they're missing the boat. It's called One Pass. So instead of having you can have a season pass. That's kind of the old paradigm where you go and you say, I want to record every episode of this show from that channel. And then it records it. And then, you know, it just appears in your list after it's been recorded and you can go and watch it. One Pass, what it does is, once you jump to a show, you get to see where that show is. You get to see every episode of that show that's available to you through all sources. So certainly any recordings that are there, but also if you happen to have linked your Hulu subscription or your Hulu Plus subscription with TiVo, great. That's available right from there. You don't need to jump to the Hulu app anymore. You could if you wanted. But if you're on a show and you say, oh, I want to watch a different episode of, say, Seinfeld, you can now say, show me all the seasons. And again, this spans all of your services, Amazon Prime, you know, Hulu Plus, Netflix, whatever you have linked up to your TiVo, you now get to see all the, you know, the show. It essentially, it doesn't matter where the show exists. If your TiVo has access to it, you can just jump right there. You don't have to figure out where it exists first and then go, and then find the show. You find the show and boom, it's right there. So, if we're Comcast customers, so we have the Xfinity On Demand, which our Premiere works with just great. And so it's all just right there. You just say, I go to, you know, Seinfeld, or I go to Lost, or whatever show it is, and boom, I get to see where, all of my sources for that show coalesce together as one. It's awesome. And TiVo did a really good job with it. Like I said, it makes my Apple TV now feel very ham-fisted because I don't get to say, I want to watch this show, find it for me. I have to say, I wonder if this show is in Hulu and go dig. No. Okay. I wonder if this show is in Netflix and go dig. No. Okay. You know, this is the right paradigm, and it's absolutely fantastic. So TiVo's got it right now. They're calling it One Pass. And if you're a TiVo customer, you may not, you've certainly seen the little things pop up that say One Pass, but you may have ignored it. Don't. If you're on a show, the little C button, which I believe is the yellow one on your TiVo remote, is the magic one that will jump you. When you're in that view, it just automatically switches you back and forth between the old style season pass and, of course, the new One Pass. And when you get a pass, you get to pick whether you want a classic season pass now or a One Pass. It's pretty awesome, John. It's the way it should be, because you shouldn't have to decide where you're going to get the content from. You should just decide what kind of content you want and whatever services you have. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I know they had something on the Series 3 that kind of did that. It was, I forgot what they called it. I never really used it, though, because it was kind of clumsy.
Yeah, they've tried this in a couple of different ways, but this is, this actually works. It's brilliant. You can tell how excited I am about it. It's just like, it finally, somebody did it right. So,
yeah, of course, I got a fish shake form, Dave, and if you look in the... in our chat room here, I pasted the URL to that. Have we talked about our chat room, Dave?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good.
MacGeekab.com/stream. That's right.
That's it. But no, I pasted a screenshot. So the other day I noticed when I fired up my TiVo Series 3, which has lifetime service, and it still serves my needs for the most part.
Yep.
But the main menu, it said, oh, there's a menu change. Click here to find out what it is. And I'm like, I'm like, this can't be good. and it says, TiVo menu change. The video on demand menu has changed to automatically launch the Netflix app. We apologize that YouTube and video podcasts are no longer available on this DVR. For unbeatable savings on the world's best DVR, TiVo Romeo.
I wonder, I got to check mine to see if YouTube is available on even the Premiere. I don't know if they pulled it out there too. They may have pulled it out. I don't even think about it because any YouTube stuff I launch it from my phone via my Apple TV. That doesn't mean that it's not valuable to also have on TiVo. I'm just saying.
Oh, right.
Right. I just don't think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's not a deal breaker because if I want to take YouTube content and watch it on the TiVo, I'll upload it using, what am I using these days? Pi TiVo X or something like that, or one of those.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just surprised that they've done anything to the software on that thing. I mean, I think they got all the bugs out long ago. So
yeah,
maybe time to upgrade. No, I paid for my lifetime service. Darn it.
That's right.
I'm gonna get it.
Hey, if you are jumping gears here, whatever we're doing,
switching
on your iPhone,
shifting,
go to settings, go to general, go to accessibility. Down at the, where did I go here? In the hearing section, you can turn on LED flash for alerts. This can be really handy if you're in a loud environment and need to know if your phone is ringing or otherwise trying to get your attention. And now, of course, once you get your Apple Watch, if you get one of those, and you have a phone that works with it, and you're wearing it, then of course, you know, you get tapped, and that's kind of a nice thing. But if you have your phone down, I've used this during band rehearsals and stuff. So yeah, you turn on LED flash for alerts, and then, you know, you're as long as you have your phone face down so that the LED is facing you, you will see this. So handy little thing. It's worth digging around in those preferences every now and then. And speaking of band rehearsal, Steven comes to potentially the rescue here. I have yet to check this out, but I've wondered often if it would be, you know, I was mentioning that I did this recent theater show where I had to play piano. And of course, I had been a while since I'd read piano sheet music. And so I went in and I wrote in the notes so that I wouldn't be having to kind of think about it on the fly. Although my reading did get better throughout the course of the show. But he says that an app called PhotoScore Ultimate from Sibelius will scan the music and actually put the notes in its own little way. So I might have to check out this PhotoScore Ultimate thing. So thank you, Steve, for sending that in. It seems like we've had a lot of Steves. I believe they've all been different Steves. That one was certainly different from the last Steve, but that's good stuff. I like it. You got one for us, John? Actually, you know what? Before you do, I want to talk about our second sponsor for this show, which is Barebones Software at barebones.com. You know, these folks, they really know how to make a text editor. I mean, they really know how to make a text editor. It's good stuff. Theirs is called, as you probably know, BB Edit. BB Edit is an app that I leave open all day long, and I use it constantly for different things. Of course, I use it to edit code. I don't do a lot of advanced coding, but I do a lot of stuff for our website. So I've got some HTML, I've got some PHP, and I've got some different templates in different environments that we work in here. And BB Edit handles them all with ease. It's got a nice little window where it coalesces all your documents if you want, and you just have one window open with a list of all your documents down the side, or all your little files, or all your little snippets, whatever it is. And you just click on them and there you go. When BB Edit senses what language you are programming in, it starts highlighting the code so that you get to see little colors. If you have functions, you can actually collapse them so that the whole function collapses down, doesn't get in your way if it's not a function you need to see. Makes it really simple. It doesn't change the file, doesn't add this formatting to the file. It adds it to your screen so that you, as the programmer, have an easier time going through. But you don't have to worry about it mucking with your file. The files are all still just text files, as they should be, and that's how it's supposed to be. BB Edit also, if you happen to have, say, a Dreamhost account where you are FTPing your files back and forth, that can be a real pain in the neck. You know, you got to launch a separate app, you got to download the file, you edit the file, you save the file, then you upload it again back to the other app. Well, BB Edit has an FTP client built right in, and it works just like Open and Save do. So once you've got the file open from FTP, you make a little edit, you hit save. It doesn't just save it to the disk, it saves it across your FTP connection, live up to the server, and you're finished. It's as though you're editing just connected directly to the server, which you are, because that's how BB Edit works. It also has a great word count feature in there. While you're writing, it shows you the number of words, the number of characters, the number of lines. That can be really handy. I use it all the time. I leave a scratch document open that I can paste things into so it can count the number of words or lines or whatever I need. Because it's a raw text editor, I can paste text in there that's formatted, and immediately it strips all the formatting because BB Edit doesn't care about formatting. Then I can copy the text from there. So I do a copy from, say, Safari, where I've got all these formatting, paste it into my scratch document. I select all, copy again, boom. Now the clipboard is cleansed. All is good. Lastly, I use BB Edit to do document comparisons. And in the new version here, it's got a killer update to the document comparison window. So you got two documents open, or you have them on disk, and you say, I want to show me the differences. What's different about these two? It might be two versions of something. It puts them up side by side in one window, really, but it's side by side with the documents. And then below them at the bottom shows you a list of all of the places in those documents where there are changes. And you can just step through the list. It highlights the lines in both documents. It scrolls them through and even highlights the sections in those lines that are different. Makes it super easy to see what's going on. I can't talk about this enough. I really love what they've done with BB Edit over the years, and this version is absolutely the best yet. So you got to go check it out. Go to barebones.com. You can download a free trial, and then when you're ready to buy, it's $50. That's it. $50. A lot less than it used to be, and well worth it, and then some. So again, go to barebones.com. Check it out. Find out if it's for you. It probably is. You're going to find a way to use it. And when you do, tell us how you use BB Edit. We'd love to hear about how you use our sponsor's stuff. So please do let us know and check it out. Barebones.com. Thank you very much. All right, John, what do you got for me?
What do I got? I got something that's going to cost you a little money, Dave.
All right.
And I just came out. I saw a commercial on the television that I decided not to blow past. With the TiVo.
Okay.
And it caught my attention because it was kind of cheesy and kind of funny, but it was a commercial for what they call the GE Link Starter Kit. So my house used to be stupid, Dave. Dumb as a rock. Now it's smart. Okay. I got a smart home now. So what are these? So what is this? So basically, it's two LED bulbs that you can control wirelessly. And it also includes what they call a link hub.
Okay.
And it's really pretty darn cool. And Wink, I believe, is the application and the protocol that they use to control it. So I was like, you know, because I to me, that price wasn't bad. You know, the LED bulbs in general, you know, I don't want to pay more than $10. But here it was like, okay, so you get this hub. And which my understanding is you only can use it for light bulbs. You can't use it.
Sure.
They have a higher level device. But it's two bulbs. You can control them. So you download. It's only an iOS app. And I'm exploring how to do this from a PC.
Yep.
Or a Mac.
Sure.
But they have an iOS app. And what it lets you do is you pair. So it uses Wi-Fi to pair with your network. And then I think it uses something called Zigbee to pair with these bulbs. And then you can control the bulbs. So you can turn them on, you can turn them off, you can dim them, you can make them brighter and not so bright. But I thought it was really neat. But then here's the interesting part, Dave, is that once you run the Wink app, you can link to all sorts of other things. So for example, it knows what my drop cam is.
Oh,
so the Wink
really?
App sees my drop cam. But then even better, you can use this app to build robots. So for example, if something happens, like, I don't think it quite works right with the drop cam that I have, but in theory, you could say, okay, if you hear something in this area or see something moving in this area, then make this thing happen. Like, turn the lights on. And when you try to add, and the number of devices that it handles, Dave. So if you run the Wink app and you say add a device. So I think this has a lot of potential, and I may slowly buy devices. But you can add hubs, alarms, blinds, cameras, garage door, heating, cooling, kitchen stuff, water heater. So it's this whole your door lock or certain door locks, power. I mean, oh my gosh,
that's pretty cool, man.
There's so much.
Well, and the nice part is it's a very low barrier to entry. I mean, if you went and got all the stuff that you just mentioned, you'd be in for several hundred bucks, but that's okay. The nice part is you don't have to spend several hundred to start with one light bulb. And that's
two light
cool.
Bulbs.
Well, two. Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Two light bulbs.
Yeah, no, I know. But you know, it with some of these other things, you know, you're in for 80, 90, 100 bucks just to get your foot wet. Right. Whereas with this, it's $25. And now you see, oh, do I like this? Hey, that's pretty cool. Maybe I want to mess with it a little more. And then you know, you just kind of trickle in more and more things. That's
yeah. The thing is, it used to be $50. And I think for a lot of people.
Yeah,
that's too much for two light bulbs and a little Wi-Fi radio.
I agree.
And then I've seen the bulbs and I think the cost will come down. So if I wanted to get more bulbs, they're, I think, $15 each and even the compatible. So Cree also makes a bulb. So you can get either GE or Cree. And then they have some of the higher end bulbs, which I think work with it, like Hue, I guess, is that's the Philips version and all
yeah.
that. But again, it's a way to get started. So I just thought I'd mention it because And I'm going to, again, I want to explore. I think they have something called OpenHab, So it's an open source kind of environment that you can control Wink things with. And I'm trying to get it to compile and run on my Mac. So
nice.
Yeah, that's, you may cool. want to check it out too. I think you may have devices that'll fit in. I think at least one of your devices, I know you got one of the thermostats, you may be able to control it with this Wink app.
Right,
already,
right.
Or at least talk to it and see what it's up to.
Let's see what it does. Hey, that's cool. All right, I got to check that out. Very cool. All right, I got one that's gonna make you spend some money, especially if you are a podcaster or really anyone that's looking to do some mixing in a way that really hasn't been possible before. Yamaha has come out with a series of mixers. There's two of them. The AG06 and the AG03. One is a little bigger than the other. But the idea is, we've all had USB mixers before. But the thing is, a lot of these go in one direction. You plug all your stuff in externally into this little mixer, and then you plug the mixer in USB into your Mac or your PC, and you mix the stuff, and then it sends a signal to your Mac that you record. And, you know, sometimes you can grab the individual microphones or whatever from the mixer, you know, the individual channels, or you can record the final mix. And that's great. No problem. Well, the problem is, say, for what we do here, John, I have a really convoluted setup because I need to get your signal from Skype, which is inside my computer, out to the mixer, because I like to have you out in my mixer. And so I have to capture the Skype signal in this crazy way and then send it out through a different interface to get to the mixer. Well, Yamaha solves that. Not only do they have in the AG series mixers, not only do they have the ability to, you know, mix stuff externally and send it back to the Mac, they have a special channel in the mixer for data coming from your computer. So you have a separate little knob to twist to set the level of the data coming directly from the computer. So you don't need to create a crazy environment and to do all this. They've really simplified it. And these are, you know, they've got compressor on one of the channels. They've got an amp simulator if you want to plug in a guitar. It's got two channels of combo input, so you can use quarter inch or XLR. XLR is what we use for kind of standard microphones. They've got phantom power on one of the channels if you need it. You can add some digital effects that are built right in. You can route back to the PC however you want. So you can say, you want it to loop everything back to the PC. You can just have a mix of the inputs, or you can send just the dry channels back and forth. So it's really, really flexible. They have a headphone out. You can plug an iPod in if you want to go that way too. So it's super flexible and it's tiny and it's USB powered. So it can be powered from your Mac while you are on the go. Or if you don't have your Mac and you want to just do a little mixing, you could use this to mix like a little PA if you wanted to. You can power it with a little USB battery because it's USB powered. So you could take your spare battery for your iPhone and power this thing out in the middle of nowhere. And then you can, you know, do whatever you want. You can even record in or out from your iPad with this thing. So, or your phone, it works with the Apple, you know, the iPad camera connection kit, which is really just a Lightning to USB adapter. So they've really done a good job with this thing. It's a cool paradigm. Of course, there's always more that you want, but you got to check it out. $269 for the AG06, which is the bigger of the two. And then the AG03, which I'm trying to find here, is slowly but slowly, that's just got one mic input, whereas the AG06 has two. The AG03 is $70 less for $199, and even smaller because it has one less fader. So you got to check these things out. They've done a good job with this. They really, well, I mean, it, you know, it's awesome to see a mixer that is targeted towards people like me, a podcaster. So you got to check it out. All right, John, let's see where we're going from here. How are we doing on time? We got a little bit of time left, I guess. Where are we? We'll go to Dedunk. I think that's a handle. It's got to be a handle. Yeah.
It may not.
I don't know. We got an email here that says, you should check out the Mini Lock for Chrome browser. It is a very cool, secure way to send encrypted files using bulletproof elliptic curve cryptography, minilock.io. He says the creator is in Japan. He's studying for his PhD in cryptology. So minilock.io is a Chrome plugin for encrypting and sharing files with your friends. All right. Thanks to Dunk. That's good stuff. We will put that out there. Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What else do we have here, John? What does Jeremy have? Oh, no, I'm going to go to Devin. This is good. This is excellent, actually. Did you check this out? Devin says, next time security encryption is the topic of the day, you may want to share this blog entry I found on a cool way to use GPG. It's called the best GPG or best PGP tutorial for the Mac ever. The steps that are included here, I went through some of these steps. Really what it does is it walks you through installing GPG tools for Mac. They actually tell you to skip the mail plugin, and I'm not exactly sure why. I'll tell you. Well, I think I understand why. But really what they do is teach you to set up the keyboard shortcuts for GPG tools for the Mac in a way that makes it easy to remember using the squiggly line, the squiggly brace and the regular bracket, so that when you highlight text anywhere, you can either encrypt or decrypt or sign or encrypt and sign. And it makes it super easy to do it this way. And I think the reason they tell you not to use the mail plugin is just so that you have a consistent experience no matter where you are, because the mail plugin works great if you're in mail. But if you are in, say, a Gmail web browser interface, you got nothing. You know, the mail plugin is useless to you there. But these things work great in a web interface, and it really makes it easy to do PGP anywhere. And that's why the tutorial is there. So thanks, Devin, for sending that in. It's good stuff. I highly recommend it. I set it up on my Mac. I still leave the mail plugin because I like that, but it is a different experience. It's still the same encryption and decryption. No problem.
So you're doing it from within?
Well, so it's essentially from the services menu, although you're setting keyboard shortcuts if you do it this way. But it just allows you, because it works with every app. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be in a text, you know, any text edit window anywhere. And that certainly could be mail, but it also could be, you know, your Fastmail interface on the web, your Gmail interface on the web, your iCloud interface on the web, a different mail client.
Okay. Right. All right. I get it now.
Yeah. It just.
Okay. Because now you can already from the Finder using the services menu, encrypt and decrypt and all that fun.
Correct.
Stuff. Okay. Yeah, well, so this expands where you can use.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't expand it. It just makes for it. There's nothing here in this tutorial that you wouldn't otherwise get with just installing GPG tools. The thing is, this kind of walks you through a process of setting it up and assigning some keyboard shortcuts that are easy to remember because they're all kind of lumped into those either squiggly bracket or regular bracket thing. And so it just makes it easy. It's good stuff. It's really smart, actually. It's good. So we will put that in the show notes. In fact, I believe somebody already has, which is awesome. So thank you for that. Okie dokie. What else do we have here, John? Oh, I want to talk about, I love this thing. The LaCie Rugged Raid. This is a cool device, John. It's two drives stacked together with a Thunderbolt interface and a Thunderbolt cable built in, because that's how this LaCie Rugged stuff works now. And, a USB 3 port that obviously can be used with USB 2, but this Rugged Raid, it's kind of, you know, fat compared to the old, LaCie Rugged drives, but because it's got two drives in there, but it's smoking fast. It's a 4 terabyte thing. It's got two 2 terabyte drives stacked on top of each other, But with USB 3, because you've got these two drives, you're getting 240 megabytes a second. And the same, you know, Thunderbolt cooks as well, because it's obviously super fast, and it's just all together. It's in a nice little fat little, I mean, it's not super fat, but it's, you know, it's this chunky box, and great to travel with, really works well. And it's smoking. $420 for 4 terabytes of super fast RAID and fun stuff. So I love it. It's a great thing. I love what Lissy's doing with their rugged line. It's one of my favorite little things. So I couldn't let the show go without talking about it. Have you checked this one out, John?
No, you know, I'll have to contact, who was it? There was another vendor that made something similar that I saw at Macworld. Yeah, it was a dual drive Thunderbolt. Yeah. I don't know if it was WD or I think it was WD. I got to get back in touch with them, but, yeah, that's handy. Yeah, I have not yet used Thunderbolt. I have used USB 3 because now I have USB 3 because you know, I got that new machine.
Right, right.
Of course. But I haven't yet used a Thunderbolt peripheral. Well, I got the DisplayPort thing.
Sure.
It's kind of, but...
not really.
Right. No, I still have to explore Thunderbolt.
Well, what I really like about the Lissy Rugged stuff is... Well, A, it comes with a Thunderbolt cable, but the cable is built in. I mean, it's wired right into the case, and it stores itself in the case. So it's not just flopping around when you're not using it, but it makes it so that you don't have to think, oh, I got to throw a cable in. You just grab the drive and throw it in, and it has everything you need to connect to your Mac, which is awesome. And I really like, because Thunderbolt can power, you know, even two hard drives like this, which is awesome. Really makes a difference. So highly recommend it. It's fun stuff. Oh, what else do we have here, John? You got anything to throw out there?
Yeah, I'll throw something at you.
Go.
Just because I looked at my iPhone and I have this on here, and I don't know why it's on here. I think they were giving it away for a day, but even if they're not giving it away, sounds like something pretty handy. And we made it, and I looked in our show notes, so we mentioned it 2 years ago. So I'll mention it again, or 3 years ago.
Cool stuff found revisited. But, go.
But it's a Geekbench, and it's called Geekbench 3. But I think I haven't, I hadn't run it for a while, and now I see that I have it on my iPhone, but it's a multi-platform benchmark utility. So it runs on iOS, which is what I did. So I have it on my iPhone. So it'll help you understand how powerful or not so powerful
sure
your various devices are. And they offer it, I guess, you know, Mac, Windows, Android, iOS. And I looked here and in the App Store. So I think it's free for certain platforms. And in the App Store, it's 99 cents. So 99 nice. Cents. Come on. You know, even I'd pay for it.
Which, so I don't think it sounds like you did.
Either I did or they were giving it away free for a day. Or something.
Right. You said that. Yeah.
But hey, cool. Geekbench. Geek out.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, you know, I've had these for a little while, and I don't know why I haven't mentioned them yet, but I got a chance. I want to, because I checked out the first version of this and didn't really like it for a couple of reasons. The Parrot Zik 2.0 headphones I really like. Now these are Bluetooth headphones, and they have the same cool kind of touch screen, well, not screen, but touch interface on the right ear of the headphone that just lets you control the volume and change the song just by tapping and touching. And of course, they've also got a sensor so that when you take the headphones off, it pauses your music over Bluetooth. But they've also got this concert hall. Well, they've got a DSP in them, and you control it with your phone and you program it with your phone. So you've got the ability to set different levels of depth. So you can do, like, you know, concert hall or jazz hall, or you can turn it off, of course, if you want, which is very cool. It's also got a noise control. So you can kind of, you know, set the amount of ambient noise you want to block out or what have you, because of the DSP that's right in there. The thing and they've had this for a while. They've had this in version one. Where version two got better is it's lighter and far more comfortable. The version one just didn't fit me well at all. And I just didn't like it. They also have, but the version two is really, really comfortable. I highly recommend them if you're looking for a pair of headphones. They've also got, it's funny, they've got presets set by various different artists. And Lou Reed is one of the presets that comes with it. Now, I was never a Lou Reed fan, and I know the he has influenced countless people, including many whom I consider my own musical heroes. But I can't stand Lou Reed. I don't think he should have sang a thing in his life. But he did a great thing coming up with a rock and roll preset for these, and it sounds fantastic. So so Lou did some great things in his life. Singing just wasn't one of them, in my opinion. But he made this and this preset, and it's awesome. So it really, you know, it tweaks it just for rock and roll. The guitars cut through nice. There's a little bit of thump to it, but without being, you know, too huge, and really, really nicely done. So you got to check it out at parrot.com. But that's the Parrot Zik 2.0 headphones. So I wanted to talk about it. It's been a while since that I've had them on the list, and I don't know why we haven't gotten there, but now we did. So what else you got, John?
I think I'm out.
Are you out? Well, let me see if I've got anything left here on the list. We got to have one thing that might be fun. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, okay. I got a couple. We'll do it this way. So Eric sent in a cool thing. This is mostly just for fun, because you probably don't have an account that will let you do anything. I certainly don't. But on your iPhone, if you go to Safari and type in diags:// and press enter, you will be brought to the iOS version of the of Apple's kind of built-in diagnostics app. Now, with it, that's where the fun ends, because we don't have the ability to log in and doing anything like this, because you have to have a ticket number and you have to be connected to the network in the store and all of that stuff. But this is how they run those diagnostics. So it's you know, it's cool to find these little things, even though we can't really do anything with them. But I'm glad you found that, Eric. So my guess is Eric was looking over the shoulder of somebody while they were doing the diagnostics in the store. But so, you know, it's fun to find that stuff, right, John? It's good.
Yeah, I remember they did that. Yes, when I went to bring my phone in for the battery issues I was having.
Yeah.
Which it turns out, I think that they actually were right.
They said, really?
There wasn't anything wrong with my battery.
Yeah, good.
Well, I thought I told you that, but yeah. So they replaced, as a courtesy, they replaced the battery, because right. I was just 1 year out of warranty. I was like, you know, 1 year and like a week out of warranty.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and,
right.
And, but no, yeah, my phone was dying at 20%. As it turns out, I think it was a battery monitoring utility that I was running that was somehow screwing up how the phone handled the battery, because I did a, you know, as I told you, I did that DFU restore,
right,
which is like a super restore. And then it didn't happen for a while, but then it happened again. And I'm like, okay, maybe it is software. And as it turns out, I think it was something I was running that was monitoring my battery. And apparently it interfered with how the phone thought it was charged or not charged.
Pretty cool.
Cause it hasn't happened again. But yeah, I remember they ran that. Yeah. I remember seeing them running that, and I'm like, how'd you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Because I think it was actually sucking out the diagnostics from my phone and analyzing them and displaying them. So yeah, very nice.
Cool. All right. One last thing from James. James says, I had been struggling for quite a while with getting my external USB drives to automatically mount after a restart or a reboot. I heard on the NozillaCast podcast about a utility called Mountain, and since installing it, my external drives now automatically mount after restarts and reboots. The app is available for $6 from the Mac App Store or the developer site at appgineers.de. There's a notice that says the Mountain version on the Mac App Store is not the latest version. Mac App Store customers can migrate to the latest version for free. So if you're going to get it, go and get it from appgineers.de. And we'll put a link in the show notes directly to that so that you can get the latest version. But yeah, there's been some weird things with mounting and unmounting, and, you know, especially after sleep and all of that stuff. So mountain can hopefully help there. And I appreciate you sending that in, James. Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. Good, good stuff. I feel like we're at the end, John.
I hear we're at the end.
Yeah. It happens. It's one of those things. It's a good one. We kept, I think we kept quite a few things going here, which is good. Right?
Yeah. One of those things. I'll give you one of those things, Dave.
All right.
It's feedback at MacGeekGab.com.
You said feedback at MacGeekGab.com, John.
I am always, almost always going to say feedback at MacGeekGab.com.
I'm going to say premium at MacGeekGab.com. And I would love to have as many of you as would like to join us at premium. MacGeekGab.com/premium is where you can learn more about that. If you send an email to premium at MacGeekGab.com and you are a premium subscriber, that is where we answer your questions. And we do try to get to those first because you're doing even more to help us keep the lights on here. And John and I certainly appreciate your support. But we do get to everything. I am a little behind after having traveled all week. I tried to keep up with most of it, but there's some stuff still out there in the queue, so we'll get to that early this week. But yeah, check us out. Premium at MacGeekGab.com is the address. Of course, MacGeekGab.com/premium or just MacGeekGab.com will give you the details on how to sign up if you want to sign up. And as you contribute more, you earn towards little gifts that we sent out. We just sent out some mugs to many, many of you out there. They've been very well received. You can see some of them appearing on Twitter and such. It's been a lot of fun. So hope you folks are enjoying your mugs. And, we'll get more going soon. But we really do appreciate your support. And I would love to have you join us there if you're willing and able. And if you're not, that's okay, too. Please keep doing what you're doing. We certainly appreciate that. Let's see. You can call us at 206-666-GEEK, which, John, is
4335.
It is 4335. Wouldn't it be funny if it changed? Not really, actually. It wouldn't be funny at all, would it? No, it wouldn't be funny.
You could pick different letters, but I don't think it would spell anything that makes any sense.
No, I don't think it would. All right. And there is an update coming to the Mac Geek Gab app. I don't know for certain if it's going to make it out by Friday when the watch is released, but we've got a special update coming to the app that, yes, might include a little something extra for your wrist. So let's see if we can get that out too. But we'll talk more about that next time. I want to thank Michael Johnston from the iOS Show podcast for converting this show to AAC for all of us and all of you, adding those chapters. Super, super handy stuff. Thank you, Michael. You rock. Also, thanks to the folks at Cashfly, CacheFly.com for providing all the bandwidth that gets the show from us to you. And the podcast marketplace, of course, where all of our sponsors like to hang out. As we mentioned during the show, MaxSales.com, Otherworld Computing. You got to check them out. As we mentioned during the show, Barebones.com. You got to check them out. iMazing.com with the coupon code MGG. Lynda.com/MGG. LYNDA.com/MGG for 10 days free. Squarespace.com/MGG. 10% off with coupon code MGG. And people that make some of the best utilities in the world, Smile at smilesoftware.com. John, any lasting advice before we wrap this one up?
Well, Dave, I was going to ask you that because you were in Vegas. So what happened or didn't happen there?
Yeah, well, you know, what I found is that they say that, of course, anything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And that is true. Right alongside that is anything that happens on the internet stays on the internet. And therefore, I implore you, be careful what you do. Have fun out there. Don't get caught.
Made up.